And a good Thursday morning. Welcome into In Focus on News Radio KMAN. Just a reminder, if we get any more information on that story over at Rock Creek High School, we will pass it along here. I do have Sheriff Shane Yeager. He says he's on scene, and we'll provide any updates if they do get those. We have a good show lined up for you this morning. We have the Executive Director of the Governor's Military Council, Perry Wiggins, set to join us a little after 9:30 this morning. But we're going to kick things off first with our monthly chat with members of the National Bio and Agri-Defense Facility. And joining us on the program, we have three guests. Tim Barr, Department of Homeland Security NBAF Program Manager. Good morning, Mr. Barr.
Good morning, Brandon.
Glad to have you with us. Dr. Ken Burton also joining us. He is the USDA NBAF Coordinator for APHIS. Good morning, Dr. Burton.
Morning, Brandon. How are you?
I'm doing well. And Katie Pulaski also joins us on the phone. She's the USDA NBAF Communications Director. Good morning.
Good morning, Brandon.
It's a pleasure to have all three of you joining us here. I know there's a lot happening over at the NBAF facility. And we spoke to Tim Barr a couple weeks ago about the impacts the COVID-19 is having on labor and material availability. Probably no surprise to anyone, but DHS is forecasting a potential 2.5-month delay in the completion of construction of the NBAF facility here in Manhattan. Remind us again, for those that may not be clear, when the original completion dates were supposed to be.
Yes, Brandon. So construction was scheduled for December of 2020, so December of this year. It's crazy. Before we had the forecast delays, to be able to say that it's December of this year, after all the years of planning and all the trials and tribulations the program has gone through. So that was the original completion date, December of 2020. And then completion of commissioning was scheduled for May of 2021. And commissioning is just making sure all the equipment works. The actual testing of the equipment is actually, you know, scheduled to be done this fall. It's the final catch-up of all the paperwork that goes along with that to officially document all that effort. That was originally scheduled for May of 2021.
Okay. And is this the first delay that you faced over there at NBAF?
This is the first delay that we have had since we established our cost and schedule baseline back in the summer of 2014. Certainly there were, so since that time, the program has adhered very well to the cost and schedule that were laid out at that time. In fact, I think I've mentioned before, in the General Accounting Office does an annual review of large DHS programs, and for several years there, we were the only one of the very large programs that was continually rated green by the General Accounting Office as a result of our continued adherence to the cost and schedule that was laid out back in 2014. Certainly, there were some issues prior to that related to the update of the design, the risk assessments that were done, you know, as directed by Congress, you know, delays in getting funding. But since we set our baseline back in 2014, we have adhered to it very well.
All right. And really, when we spoke a couple weeks ago, it sounded like the major reason for this delay, part of it is materials, but also a big part of it is because of all the travel restrictions on folks. Experts that need to travel out here to do some of the testing can't do that right now.
That's correct. It's a combination of things. There are restrictions on just the various site workers, like electricians, folks doing stone work, things like that. I mean, first of all, work is still going on the site. There are still 200-some folks a day here on site, which is down from our peak of 650, but this is where we plan to be anyway. But part of the impact is, yes, there are some sectors of the craft workers, such as electricians or others, that are not getting to the site, or we're not getting to the site because of various stay-at-home orders. But then there is also impacts from some I would say, very uniquely skilled folks that are involved in the testing of the highly specialized equipment that you find in a biocontainment laboratory. And some of those restrictions on their travel were a combination of either the stay-at-home orders in their state, or the state of Kansas required a quarantine, a 14-day quarantine for folks that had traveled to hotspots, for example, like in New York or Illinois. And then some companies just simply instituted their own travel restrictions for the safety of their employees, looking out for their future business. They decided to do that. So we're coping with all of those with respect to labor shortages.
All right. Has this had any impact on the budget at all?
Right now, no. We are projecting, as the delays as we know them, and even looking out if they were to be extended, we are projecting that any cost associated with delays we can cover with our existing budget, the $1.25 billion.
Okay. Well, I understand USDA was supposed to take ownership of the facility from the Department of Homeland Security at the end of this year. Is that timeline also changing?
Yeah. So contractually, there's a date, and it was December 9th, and it's the term in the contract is substantial completion. And at substantial completion, you're basically done. You have a few punch list items to clean up here and there, but the facility is, for all intents and purposes, done, and folks can move in. At substantial completion, up to that point, the contractor's been running and operating the facility. At substantial completion, it becomes the government's responsibility to operate the facility. And in this instance, as USDA would be responsible for future operation, they would fulfill that contractual requirement to begin operation of the facility at substantial completion. So if that date is moved back, and we're continuing to monitor that, then the date for USDA to move in and then to take over operation of the facility, that would also be impacted and be moved back.
Okay. Well, I'll bring on Dr. Burton here with the next question here. Can you tell us what kind of work USDA NBAF is doing now to get ready to take ownership and prepare for operations to begin?
Sure, Brandon. As with pretty much all organizations right now, our teams are utilizing maximum telework, so everybody's working from all over the area. But did that, you know, to provide utmost safety for our teams, and we're definitely taking advantage of the different teleconference platforms that are available. All of us are becoming much more tech savvy than we probably were about 6 weeks ago. But it's really working well, and we're trying to keep everybody together as a team, and that's also working well. Just to give you an idea of some of the activities that continue to go on, our safety, health, environmental management group is implementing OSHA plans and procedures and coordinating with various groups, DHS, Kansas Department of Health and Environment, and City of Manhattan on environmental permitting processes. Our support services, which is laboratory support and transshipping, our warehouse group, they're benchmarking operational procedures with the National Center for Animal Health and Ames and Plum Island Animal Disease Center to implement their best practices within our laboratory operations at NBAF. And we really appreciate all the work that our warehouse group has done, because we've continued to receive shipments, and we've had materials going in and out of our external warehouse, and they've continued to be at the warehouse facility every day and allow its operations to go on. Definitely had to do some different changes to make everybody safe and to make sure that we do things according to the social distancing and everything, but they've done a great job of keeping it going. Our IT group, information technology, they've been working on the NBAF networks and server, the infrastructures, and they've done a great job of putting together what's called alternative analysis. So all the different systems that we're considering to be used at NBAF, And they've gone through and done a lot of analyzing the different options that are out there, and pluses and minuses for each of those, and made those available to the different teams so they can make the best decision on what systems they want to use. We've got a group called Training and Document Control, and they've been real critical for us from the perspective that we're virtually onboarding all our employees right now. So they've developed a single onboarding brief for all MBAF employees that crosses APHIS and ARS. That's worked very, very well, and doing a lot of work on standardizing operating procedures, how to write those, and how to manage records. So they've been very active. And then in addition to that, our facilities group, like Tim said, has been on site pretty much every day watching commissioning activities and then learning the building system so that they'll be ready to operate the facility when we do move in. There's some challenges. Everything's going forward really well from the UIDA operations side.
That's good to hear. Well, Tim, is it possible we could see further schedule delays, do you think?
It depends on, gaze into our crystal ball, what the future impacts from the COVID-19 might be. So, yes, it is possible. But I will say that both our contractor, McCarthy Mortensen, who has done an excellent job to date, and as well as the site staff, are continuing to work to mitigate the impacts. And as the various impacts change, there's an ebb and flow of the various impacts. Those projected forecast dates change. And so, you know, like I said, and you had mentioned earlier, we can't really establish a new completion date right now. But folks are working really, really hard to keep this thing on the track. There's I will say, a group of folks have been at this for a very long time, much longer than I have, and I started with MBAF in 2011 to bring this thing home. So, yes, there could be additional delays. We don't know that right now. We're not projecting that right now, but that's always a possibility.
All right. Well, let's take a quick break. We'll come back and continue our conversation with MBAF officials, Tim Barr, Dr. Ken Burton, and Katie Pulaski when we return on KMAN.